All right, we've put it off long enough here on the channel. It is time for us to collectively draft our first team of the 2024 season and, of course, lay the groundwork for finding our generation, Sky Moore. It's Ship Chasing. Let's go.
Pat Fryer-Helmuth.
This is why I'm hot.
Anita Hanjob.
Fix your sight.
Jamar. Alpha play chase.
Are you kidding me? Kadarius Toney?
You can't handle the heat.
Pete, it looks like we're finally at this point. You're right.
Wow. Wow. The chat is frothy for a draft tonight. David already coming in hot. He just wants Pat and I to put our hands up and let Gretch take the wheel.
I'm very open to it.
Me too, actually. But
I'm not. I'm closed off to it. I don't like this idea. Pat, I was going to sit back and let you guys do it tonight.
I'm taking this comment to heart. I think it means we're overexposed. If he's already sick of seeing us draft, I mean, that means we drafted
fucking
way too
March,
much.
Man. It's not good.
What's funny is, Pat, have you done – how many drafts on stream have you done? It can't be that many.
I don't think I've done any big board drafts on stream.
Yeah, so you're just talking about me, David. You want these guys to do?
I've been doing plenty of content. It's all just conversations, not drafts.
Fucking beat guy to so many streams. Yeah. Good God.
Well, you know what David's probably referring to? It's Pat's rankings are out there drafting for a lot of people. And so it is a fun dynamic, though, where Pat gets to say he wants a guy that's not the top of the queue in his rank. So we can have that play out as well.
I was, yeah. Although, you know what? It's just a way for me to update the ranks. That's all. Okay.
That's right. I will say you, like, when I hear you, like, on shows or even with us or when you're talking with the legendary upside guys, you're very fluid with, like, oh, I'm going to adjust this guy right now. Like, you use that real-time feedback to inform your stuff.
I do. And, I mean, I think there's, you know, an element here where we want to be mixing it up and drafting different guys and not just drafting the same team over and over and over. So it's kind of like, as long as I'm consistently kind of just like, even if it's just tinkering, like, good, you know what I mean? Because we should be kind of mixing up the bets in certain ways, but also, like, yeah, some of the stuff as we learn more information, I'm trying to bake it in right away.
I think that's a really good point. I mean, I was talking to Andy so on the club, and he's been auto drafting big boards, but one thing he knows and he does from his experience doing the dailies is layering in some, like, light randomness to the ranks as you do batches of auto drafts. So you're not just getting the one guy, the leg up ranks are four spots higher than ADP, because you don't want to show up with 45% of that guy. That's not actually reflective of the confidence bet you're making. So I think tinkering those makes a ton of sense for people who are using them as gospel.
Right. And I go through, I mean, we update them every day, and I go through and we'll make changes where I'm just like, yeah, this is pretty flat, and we've actually gotten a little bit out of line with, you know, ADP on this player, and kind of move them up to reflect. I don't want the rankings to reflect, like, massive stands on players for an entire like pre-draft period, for example, that we don't really have. You know, like, you shouldn't have any of, you know, I don't know, like Brandon Ayuk or something. Like, that's not how we feel. So if the rankings were giving you that, I would want to adjust that at some point in the period.
Yeah, no Brandon Ayuk. That's just a Davis Matic draft strategy for ideological reasons. Gretch, you've been putting out some good podcasts with Sean. I got to listen to the Marquise Brown episode. Haven't got a chance to listen to the Keenan one yet. Any other thoughts for you kind of as the free agency dust is fully settled?
No, we did a few last week and didn't get to all the moves, so we wanted to hit on some of those this week. I mean, I'm super into, like, March Madness. That's what I'm doing today. Like, you guys are already talking about, like, layering in randomness on like, auto-drafting best ball. I'm like, are you guys checking out the Texas-Colorado State game? Like, this is a ship cast, right? We're going to watch along March Madness. Like, we're going to be talking about – how much do you guys get into March Madness?
I used to get really into it. I don't know what's going on. I gotta tell you.
I used to be obsessed, Scratch. I was telling Brick on Lulz today, I had a period from like 1995 to 2005 where it was like my favorite sporting event of the year. But I'm like such a completionist that now, because I don't get to spend much time on it, like just like picking and choosing my spots doesn't have quite the same appeal to me.
Right, for sure. I've been that way with it certain years, but this year I got pretty into it, so I'm super excited. I do. Me and some college buddies have an eliminator pool that we've done for, I got the thing open here. We have results in it. 2013 was our first year, so whatever, 11 years. And then another buddy brought something that he learned from he's in the Air Force, from his Air Force buddies. It's called Pick Six. And so you pick just six teams and you get the points for each round that their seed is. So for the first round, like if they're a six seed, like, so I took BYU in this. They're a six seed. If they would, they would have got 6 points in the first round. And then the second round, they win that game, they get 12. So they get 6 times 2. Goes all the way to potentially round 6 would be the championship. So one seed all the way through wins every game, can only get to 21. But like an 11 seed wins 2 games, they get 33. They get 11 and 22. So there's like – it kind of layers it in like –
That's cool.
Yeah, what bets do you want to make? Like, where, who do you think is going to make a long run? Even just 2 good wins from a double-digit seed is a good number. But obviously, I mean, if you pick the champion correct, if you pick like a 2 seed to win the champion, you could get 42 from that. Like that can
3 seeds. 3 seeds are pretty fun.
3 seeds, 6 and 11.
Slope. 4 seed.
Can you imagine if it was a 5 seed?
Oh, ooh, that's what happened last year. I think UConn was a 5 seed. No, they were a 4, and okay, they played San Diego State. San Diego State was a 5. Like last year, no top 3 seeds made the final 4. It was a 4, 2 fives, and in a like a 9. So anyway, it was crazy for this particular type of bracket last year. But
not a good year to take NCAA teams high in Omni, which I'm pretty sure I did in all the leagues.
And then there's Omnis, so I got a lot of shit riding on NCAA tournament. A lot of money, a lot of sticks in the fire.
Yeah, actually, I'm gonna need to go refresh my memory on what my Omni teams are. I'm pretty sure I have Arizona. Okay, well, that's a good one to have.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Let's draft. I'm gonna hop in a big board draft. Let's get the screen shared. See if we can remember how to do this over here. Wow, you guys were waiting. Is there an overflow? I mean, that's snap filled. Were you guys sitting on this? Influencer 102 here for us. I don't know if I recognize a lot of these names though. I see Super Shorty got in here. Actually, there must be a big overflow. All right, Gretch, is this your first time seeing the draft applet, the ADPs?
Well, I've gone to Underdog Fantasy.com and looked at rankings to write like my targets per outrun articles and stuff. I have not drafted. I don't really have context on it. I mean, we talked about it a little bit where I realized in real time when we were talking about Drake London that like how high his overall ADP was, even though he was still like wide receiver 26 and his overall ADP was 36, which I see has actually risen a lot since Kirk Cousins
landed there.
But like, obviously, I can do the math, and I'm like, oh, so these draft boards are just all receivers in the early rounds? Like, if you're wide receiver 26 and going 36 overall, then there's only 10 picks in the first 3 rounds that are not receivers, which is what it was when I wrote it up, and I couldn't believe that. I was shocked.
It's wild.
I mean, it won't be like that in the summer, you know?
Yeah.
I think it'll be maybe closer to that than, like, last year, but, yeah. I mean, I think you'll see –
so
like Josh Jacobs and stuff.
Gretch, where are you at? Do you have a take on the 1-2? Because I
think Tyreek Hill should be the wide receiver 1.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty comfortably, actually. He's been a lot better than CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb like broke out last year. Tyreek Hill was still way better. I think if Tyreek Hill didn't get hurt, he would easily be going ahead of CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah. I will say I'm pretty sure I got Tyreek at like 1.5 or 1.6 the other day. Like you're starting to see some crazy stuff. Like Bijan will now Bijan's go 2 or 3 in a lot of these. Obviously Jefferson is one of the fallers. Lamb though rarely falls out of the top 3. So that's pretty unusual. I feel like to see Lamb at 1.4 in these.
Yeah. My general take on Tyreek versus Lamb is that I want both. And so I've just generally been in line with ADP, but I do like, I would, if you had me make ADP, I would put Tyreek second as well.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I agree with you. I want to draft Lamb too. He's like, his profile was fantastic last year. He's progressed every year in a way that feels like a legit, like, Pat, we talked about this like years ago, but like how yards per out run as a stat, like you don't typically see guys just like shoot up. I remember you referencing Devontae Adams, how he had to like build up. Actually a little improved. Bit.
Yeah. He didn't come out of nowhere. He like, he was awful, then like bad, then like okay, then good, then amazing.
Yeah. And Lamb was never amazing, or I mean, never awful, but he has like steadily improved in a way that you're like, yeah, he's just getting better every year. And he just had like a kind of a breakout year in 2022, and then an even bigger step forward in like everything in 2023. He does even more per route. He's even more efficient. Everything's like, yeah, this guy's like, and his profile was that coming out of college that he could be a superstar. So, I mean, he's legit. I'm not trying to dog him, but Tyreek Hill, like, I honestly think if he wasn't inactive, so he missed like a good chunk of the game he got hurt in, and then inactive the next game, and was like kind of playing hurt the last couple games. And I mean, still, like, I know he's older, but he's also a freak, dude. That was like a high ankle sprain, and he barely missed any time. Like, he might be one of the biggest, like, this, how can this guy play through stuff? You know, some dudes are just like physical freaks, you know? Like, I'm actually like kind of feel like Tyreek Hill is like less of an injury risk after I saw that last year, because that high ankle sprain seemed bad. He missed one game and he was just like back the next week. He played through it in that game. He came back into that game. It was like, oh, he's this dude's out for the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like super flexible or whatever. So, anyway. And his targets per out run and his efficiency, all that stuff is just so absurd. It's absolutely astronomically absurd. It's like way above everyone else.
So. Yeah, it's actually like insane. Like when you look at like yards per route run, if a guy is in the high twos, that's like ultra elite, you know, kind of Justin Jefferson sort of stuff. Tyreek's been at 3.07 and 3.72. the last 2 years. That's fucking nuts.
It's insane. I wrote that up as whatever 3.72 divided by 3 point or 1 point, whatever it is, 1.86 or something. I was like, that's 2 1.86 seasons, which is a good season.
Those are like solid, maybe not elite. Like, that's like a DK Metcalf year.
Right. He had a DK Metcalf year and then another one. On the same number of routes, he packed it into the same number of routes.
How do you? That's a little shade to DK, who was at 2.04 last year, 1.93 before that. So it's a not quite a DK Metcalf here, but almost.
So some of that we're about to pick in the second round. One of the big drops you have in the leg up rankings is dropping DJ Moore down about 10 picks. ADP wise, it's still Moore, Allen, Diggs. Your ranks, Diggs, Allen. We got our guy Rashee Rice up here, Olave, Dell. You guys have anything you like?
I like playing for the Diggs, Allen. That's one of the reasons why Diggs has moved up, because you can do that move. Otherwise, we can go. This is a flat spot, so if you guys like any of the receivers.
What do you like, Gretch?
I really like Rashee, but I could do the Diggs, Allen thing.
Let's do Rashee.
I mean, Rashee's been the dude that I've been talking up on all the stuff, and you mentioned the Hollywood show with Sean. I think I went for like 15 minutes straight talking about Rashee Rice on that podcast. I was like, Sean, you got to stop me, man. You got to cut in.
And then we're back on the clock. DJ Moore, Olave goes. I've been taking a ton of Tank Dell in this range. Also like Waddle. For some reason, I just can't bring myself to click Diggs here, but I'm open to whatever.
Yeah, I'm down with Tank.
You like Tank, Gretch?
I don't love him here, but I'm down with it.
Who do you like, Waddle?
Take him. No, let's take Tank. Let's take Tank.
Yeah.
You guys both like it. I'm good with it. I think another receiver is the obvious pick. Waddle would have been fine. Diggs would have been fine. But Tank's fine, too. I'm trying to come around on Tank. I guess I'm mildly concerned they might add to the position in the draft, and that part of the reason they were so good, both Tank and Nico, was the lack of competition. Dalton Schultz is not a target earner. And like Noah Brown had like career highs per route, like target earning. Like when that's Robert Woods was horrible. He was horrible in 2022 and he got even worse in 2023. His yards per run's like 0.9. We were just talking about 1.8. So Tyreek Hill was 4 Robert Woods's. He wasn't just double, you know, one someone at 1.8.
That actually doesn't seem like enough.
It kind of doesn't, but Robert Woods was, and he ran 400 plus routes. Those routes are going to get replaced by somebody better than what Robert Woods gave you last year. So there's going to be some target competition for Nico. Well, it's sort of my feeling.
Brown was hurt, right? And Dell was hurt. So I think Brown's re-signed. I think they probably draft someone, but I don't know how early they take someone. Like, they could be a third round pick. You know, it's a deep class for sure, but it's not, it's the first round guys who I'd be worried about if I'm invested in Tank Dell. I think Tank Dell, given what he showed last year, can keep himself well out ahead of some of these guys who might go like later round 2 or round 3.
But do you think part of what he showed last year is just, I mean, more than just a small part is Stroud? Obviously a good chunk.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, so it's like if they add somebody.
But it's sort of like Rice. Like Rice, like he, so they have identical yards per route run, like 2.21 for Rice, 2.22 for Dell. Dell, I mean, to me, like if you just zoom out to the macro, rookie wide receiver comes in, has 2+ yards per route run, great quarterback play.
Yeah.
I'm in. Like, yeah. I am in. And I don't think that someone's going, like, everyone else around the organization knows that as well. Now, he has to come back from the injury. The reports on that have been pretty positive. So I'm expecting that that won't be a problem. I guess, you know, we should factor that into a degree. But yeah, I think it's probably him and Nico. And then, you know, if they draft someone, Noah Brown's routes are really where you would start.
Right. And again, that Robert Woods had 417 routes. He was third on the team in routes behind Schultz and Nico. He was basically right with Nico in terms of like overall routes. So wow.
That's crazy.
He ran a ton of routes poorly. So like, that's where I think the competition has to rise. It's not like John Mechie ran 172 routes. Noah Brown ran 293. He was about 300. And his numbers were high. Like, he also saw an elevation from the fact
that he was almost at 2 yards per route run, Noah Brown. It's just right. Like 1.9 something.
A lot of his routes were after Tank went down. And it was like, okay, you got Nico and no one else. You know, like, so I just think like anybody.
Was even before? I remember Noah Brown having spike weeks early in the season because it was like confounding for DFS purposes.
He did, yeah. And he had a couple splashes. You're right.
He had the massive game the week with the Bucs where they all went off too.
Yeah.
He went back to back. 250 yard games in a row. I just looked it up, and that was before Tank's injury. I think you're right, actually.
Yeah, it was week 9 and 10.
Yeah,
Tank got hurt week 13. Yeah, it was weird. I mean, like, are saying none of this is Stroud? Like, Noah Brown, dude, that's Stroud. That's 100%.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
interesting. Goes. I was gonna see if we could maybe have done the Mahomes double stack there, but that dream great. Is. Dead. We could still push Mahomes to 5-2 if we want. James Cook, Zay, Rome. You want to get your first Rome share, Gretch?
Yeah, I do.
Let's do it.
If Pat's saying let's do it, then hell yeah, I want to take Rome in my first draft. The other guy that pops on the screen for me is Trey McBride.
Yes.
Who I think should maybe be the tight end one. I mean, I'm pretty high on when I did the targets per run stuff, I came out really high on him.
I love that take. One other thing, and this dovetails, I just put out a video on my channel, Big Board Strategy Tips, and one that Jacob mentioned that I've been trying to do in my drafts too is to take advantage of how deep this rookie wide receiver class is. Like, take a detour away from wide receiver in round 4, 5, or 6, because we're going to want to spend some mid-round picks on wide receiver. So, like, I think I said in my video, like, I have Andrews and McBride on over 60% of my team so far because, like, I love getting this tight end detour here, and McBride is just such a smash.
He should not be going – I mean, it's only 502, but fifth round, that seems
– Yeah, I mean, to me, Andrews in the fifth round is absurd. He's the number he's the number one receiver on Baltimore still, in my opinion, and has been – I'm always a little nervous about tight ends who showed it in – a season or half a season like McBride did, because we've been fooled so many times, you know, by the next big thing at tight end. So, like, to me, I take Andrews over McBride pretty comfortably because he's fucking Andrews. You know what I mean? He's like 29.
But his
hasn't fallen off. He's
you know. His 2023 is pretty interesting. From writing it up, his targets per out run fell substantially. His slot rate spiked. He'd been between 62 and 67% 4 years in a row. Was up over 80%. So, I mean, not a massive amount, but he's only in line 9.9%. He had been in line over 20%. So, like, the mix with the coordinator change, right? The mix was different. Right. He was in the slot more, earning targets at a lower rate per route, which is partially just having Zay Flowers on the roster and better receivers and Odell Beckham there and stuff. His ADOT fell a ton. It's always been double digits every year of his career. It was down to 8.2.
That is a little bit of a concern for sure.
All of those things were a little bit different for him in 2023. Obviously got hurt, and so we don't have like a total huge sample, but it's at least his efficiency was still good. He's always been an efficiency stud. Yeah,
1.93 yards per route run isn't still that good. Far below. Like, he was 1.97. No. It's below his career year of – I mean, well, his career year was 2.68, but even 3 years ago he's at 2.18, which is, you know, that's a decent drop-off, but still pretty damn good, especially for a tight end.
Right. So there's at least mild concern with him, to your point about there also being some mild concern with McBride. That's why I'm still McBride over him, but I like him in this range too, for sure.
My like zoomed out view of tight end is like there's like three or four guys in the whole league who can be like true difference makers at the position. And like, if you give me one of the guys who has been a difference maker for multiple seasons, I'm going to bet on that guy.
Sure.
Like, I'm still taking a lot of Kelsey. And I know like he could.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
but like you're getting fourth round Kelsey. It's Kelsey.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And the thing I can't shake about that, Pat, too, about like the league winning difference making tight end, we used to have to pay a two, three turn pick for that. That was the Waller Kittle year, you know, 2 years ago, where it's like, that's what we were aiming for. Give me a couple spike weeks at the right time, have that ceiling. And it's like, now you can get that in the fourth, fifth.
It's huge. Dalton Kincaid is not that yet. So I think McBride showed enough. He had a 25.9% targets per route. Yeah, I mean, he was a monster in that year. Pitts would actually qualify for me as well. I don't know the ADP. So as these tight ends are going off, I'm wondering where this breaks. But those four that we already saw go should not be going as low as they are. They're awesome values.
I would take Kittle here and just bully it.
I've done it with the double tap because Kittle's off in here too.
He fits in that group too for me. I'm with you guys. Let's just do it.
I don't mind it either because I do not like much at tight end mid to late in these. So like locking up two and just being done with it has always felt good.
Honestly, what are we gonna Schultz do? Is one of my last guys that I even want to consider. Like, I hate having to go figure it out late.
It's bad.
What do you guys want? Like, this isn't really a good QB range. Are there running backs that you consider at this point? Or is it those receivers that are not?
The only quarterback thing is if you really want Kyler, he's not coming back. ADP of 86, we pick at 95.
I think that makes sense.
Okay.
That would be my only thought, unless we like one of these running backs.
I mean, David Montgomery is like a safe play for a zero RB.
Let's do Kyler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys see when you went back to the grid view? Did you see Team 11? Do you see a lot of this?
No. This is the chat has been going crazy about this for the audio listeners here. Team 11 just vomiting green like we haven't seen in a long time. Jahmyr Gibbs, Barkley, ETN, Rashad White, Kenneth Walker. I thought we had to throw up the X situation here, but pop the wide receiver cherry at pick 62. Finally took Calvin Ridley there. But
I can't wait for all these running backs to have a good season and in this team to finish fourth.
Yeah. Shout out to user West Cocaine. Cocaine, I should mention, spelled K or C-O-K-A-N-E. Our team.
His name's Wes Cocaine, and he's just railing running backs.
Yep.
Yes.
It all fits.
It sounds like a little kid saying you should do less cocaine. Wes Cocaine. our team. Tyreek Hill, Rashi Rice, Tank Dell, Roma Dunze. Then we cranked a little purple here. Trey McBride, George Kittle, and quarterback Tyler Murray to stack with McBride. But I actually did. It's funny because I'm going to say, like, I think this is unique, even though I did this on the stream on Wednesday with the Badge Bros, where we did McBride, Kyler here. But because Kyler's ADP is on the complete opposite side of the board, I actually think that there's not going to be quite as many McBride Kyler stack pairings as you might otherwise think. Yeah. They're just not correlated.
It feels weird to reach over Burrow and Dak for Kyler.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah, that did feel weird.
You stacked
my first draft and I didn't feel comfortable taking him over. I was like, Kyler over Joe Burrow? Seems weird.
It does feel weird, but it's a seventh round. So it's not that big of a deal.
No, it's not. And like, he could have more upside than Burrow. Like, it's, that's not really that crazy.
Well, especially if McBride has the year we need.
Right. With his rushing, like, Kyler's definitely, he's not dead.
We also, we did crank purple. So we do have to credit Crack Rock for coming up with cranking purple. Crack Rock does demand credit for anything he invented, like Jim McCarthy going to the Vikings. So make sure you guys are giving Crack Rock his flowers.
Speaking of West Cocaine and Crack Rock are our two favorite.
Do you think when the Vikings trade up for JJ McCarthy and select him at number five, that they are going to have to credit Crack Rock for that move?
I think they might as well just put a 400-meter track around Mar-a-Lago for the victory laps that Crack Rock is going to be doing.
Crack Rock's going to be DMing us like to come on the draft stream for sure, so he can celebrate.
Well, the whole cranking purple thing has really come full circle, because now he's talking about cranking purple in relation to like the Vikings.
West Cocaine then double taps. Two quarterbacks, hard to get any stacks in when you only have one wide receiver. But Jordan Love, Brock Purdy there. All right. We're about
I don't really understand it. At the
end. So the top
of not my preferred way of doing it.
And the top of Pat's ranks is Najee Harris here. There's Eckler, Javonte.
They're gonna run the ball, man. They're gonna run the ball.
Gretch, what do you like?
Not don't ask him what he likes.
I don't like. Really, yeah, that was the wrong question.
Well,
that,
you gotta
just run the clock down until Najee Harris gets auto picked. You can't even put him in the queue.
I grabbed two at the last second to stop. I thought we were kicking. I'm kicking the can down the road.
That's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I thought we were going.
I mean, I was saying that I thought Najee really did make sense at this point in a zero RB build. In the end of the eighth round.
Well, there he goes.
I will also say AD and Xavier aren't coming back. So if you want one of those guys, this is also the chance to take them.
What are the running backs that we're looking at now that he went?
Yeah.
I would probably get Javonte here.
I could do Javonte.
We're in decent shape at receiver. He's a pretty nice running back one.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good with him for sure. This is a good price on him too.
I'm curious, like, what are your guys' takes on Javonte? I've struggled with him. It was like part of the thesis played out last year. He got the workload and then just didn't seem to have the efficiency that got us all excited in the first place.
He didn't, and I think Jaleel McLaughlin is pretty interesting. They're probably going to have a committee. They don't have a quarterback. But I think they probably end up getting, like, a Bo Nix or something, and – they run the ball a fair amount, and you know, it's going to be a fairly well-designed offense. So to get Javonte Williams at, like, you know, what we were paying for Brian Robinson last year, I mean, the bar is not high for what he has to do at that price to be a value pick. So
then he was coming back from the multi-ligament knee tear, which we knew, and Peyton stuck with him. And I think that's a key. He's still a young back. They threw to him a ton. They gave him the most routes, and then also
all their running backs a ton.
They built the offense exactly like the old Saints offense with Drew Brees, where it's like we're going through the backs. Javonte's targets per out run, which isn't a great running back stat, but they were absurd. It was like over 30%. It's probably the highest for any running back. He even higher, like P. Ryan was the next highest on the team, and he was like 24%. None of their receivers were over 20%. The two running backs were like way, way up there. You have to expect that they're still going to throw to the backs a good amount. And the fact that Javonte got a lot of routes and then also was even higher than like Pirine, it was like they were intentionally trying to get him the ball in space in a passing game a lot. I think the usage is interesting, even if the efficiency wasn't there, that there's still like a chance that the second year removed from the injury, the efficiency comes back, but that the usage, we can kind of be comfortable that Peyton was like interested in him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, like, look, if he was going in the sixth round, I'd be like, God, what are we doing?
Right.
But the right. ninth round is just so different. You know what you need.
He is a guy too. This doesn't pertain to this contest, but I think after the draft, he's an easy candidate to get pushed down further because of the running backs. Like, he's kind of the amorphous dude, you know, the Trey Bensons and the Jonathan Brooks that hit the nut landing spot. Like, they're flipping him in an instant.
For sure.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see him, you know, round and a half later, but that doesn't change where he's going in here.
But I mean, that would be like, if you were getting 10th, 11th round, Javonte Williams, the pretty clear 1A back on the Broncos. I mean,
that's, you want to be in on that.
That's, yeah, that's kind of crazy. Like, that, it's like Javonte yeah. Williams or Zach Moss. Like, give me Javonte.
He's still
Javonte Williams or Zamir White. Like, Javonte Williams.
He's still only 23. He's one of those guys that came in at 21. He's played 3 years. He turns 24 next month, to be fair, but it'll be his age 24 season. It's not like he's super old. And again, like, you know, had the really bad knee injury in 2022, played through it last year and stayed healthy. Hopefully he can build up his like leg muscles better this offseason because his ligament is intact. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I think part of the year two stuff is like he can work out harder this offseason, right. You know?
And the multi-ligament yeah. thing, like, you know, at the time it was like, this is a bigger deal than like the Breece Hall injury. Like, it was a multi-ligament tear. Like, we should expect him to be coming back yeah. slower. And then he comes back slower and it's like,
I'm so excited to be wrong. I said there's no way Xavier Worthy makes it back, and he does. Gretch, can I entice you on this?
Yeah, yeah.
Especially, have you seen the photos of Mike McDaniel with Xavier Worthy? You know, we got the Tua all of a sudden.
Oh, baby.
He's fast. McDaniel likes speed.
So let's just
keep taking rookies, right?
I love Jonathan Brooks here.
Yeah.
Anything else?
We're gonna end up feeling, I think, a little bit weak at running back because he's not gonna give us much in the early season. But I still think we do it and we just, you know, find, like, we're gonna have to get a Gus Edwards or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That type of guy.
Yeah.
That's fine. And we don't have
Does Raheem Mostert go?
He's like strong. He goes around the Connor range usually.
93.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's a low key spot for a back to land, or I don't know if it's low key. I haven't listened to a lot of draft stuff, but
yeah.
Don't you feel like they could try to pair someone with Achane and kind of like move on from Mostert a little bit?
Yeah, I think they could.
Yeah,
just not really that great of a running back class, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Our squad here, we got Kyler and Tua. Kyler stacked with Reek. Tua stacked with Reek. Kyler stacked with McBride. We got two running backs, Javonte, Jonathan Brooks. Along with Reek, we have Rashee Rice, Tank Dell, Rome, Adunze, Xavier Worthy at 119, and then George Kittle also at tight end. So we don't have to force anything else with QB and tight
except end. Yeah, with QB and tight end, we do have to force Short King Summer with Greg Dortch.
Short King Spring.
That's right.
So Wes Cocaine did feather in one other wide receiver, Cortland Sutton, but then grabbed his third QB, Trevor Lawrence. Super Shorty wants us to check out her team here. It's got Anthony Richardson to Josh Downs stack, Jared Goff to Amon-Ra and Laporta stack. Very nice.
By the way, shout out to Super Shorty. If you guys haven't checked out the article she wrote on Rashee Rice, I highly recommend that.
Yes.
Yeah. Very nice. And that's a free piece, right? Anyone can check that one out on LegUp.
That one's completely free.
And she couldn't. Who came up with the title? Let me know how the sausage got made. God damn it, Steph.
I think I might have tweaked it. But you didn't like the pun?
No, it just hurts. It's you know.
Yeah. Any reference to Sky Moore? Yeah. It's the sickest fucking name ever. And now it's just a
no. Yeah.
The punchline.
That was her.
The biggest fucking name and the biggest fucking flop.
I just pulled up Arizona's depth chart, and they have Chris Moore over at our lads. They have Chris Moore listed as a starter, a free agent addition starter. Michael Wilson, Chris Moore, and Greg Dortch are the starting receivers.
Wow.
I'm honestly not opposed to handcuffing in
this handcuffing at all. Because it's not even a handcuff. It's a they're both.
Well, Ty Chandler's a good play too, right?
I'm fine with either of them. I do think we should probably take a wide receiver with one of the other picks.
Let's grab Jahlil.
We can do both Jahlil and Ty if Better doesn't take. I'm fine with that too.
I'm fine with going receiver. I don't have strong opinions here. I thought behind Aaron Jones, like Ty Chandler's a pretty solid like zero RB ish 12, 13.
Ah, there he goes. Okay. Build wise, I think Chandler fit better.
Yeah. I was kind of thinking that too. Like he's going to have a role. Aaron Jones isn't going to get 300 touches.
I also don't mind some of these other rookies. I mean, I've been taking Lloyd and Braylon Allen.
I'm good with either.
I'm good. I open for whatever. Whatever you like.
Roman Wilson's also pretty nice if you want that receiver.
Let's just grab Marshawn Lloyd here. I think because I
literally don't know anything about these rookies. I haven't looked at them at all.
Marshawn Lloyd's like kind of a like he runs like he runs like he's panicked, you know, like he's like I gotta get out of here. You know, and I don't think he's like super structured. You know what I mean? I'm a little bit worried that like coaches aren't gonna like love this guy.
I mean, we gotta pull up clips, right? Like this has to be the show where we start pulling up clips now. I wanna see him running like he's panicked. I have to see this. I'm pulling it up myself.
Also, I had to shout out this tweet here from Jeff before we went live. You're watching March Madness. I'm staring at the title screen waiting for this stream to start. We are not
the same. That's fantastic.
Someone this tweet, Marshawn Lloyd just moves with so much urgency. That's the polite way to put what Pat just said.
That's what I'm saying. People see it.
Yeah. So is he the heir to the Isaiah Pacheco? This guy runs like Mad Lib?
I think he might be, yeah. He's kind of in the Jalen Wright mold of like, they're both sort of like kind of speedy, did well at the combine, probably like committee explosion back types.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm watching his highlights. Is it just like ultimately too much dancing behind the line of scrimmage for the next level?
Yeah,
like,
it might be.
Pick a hole.
It might be. That's what I'm saying. I don't know that he's going to impress coaches. That's my concern.
Right.
He crushed the combine. Like his RAS score was awesome. But yeah, he's sort of the opposite of Blake Corum. Like Blake Corum does do all the stuff you're supposed to do,
goes straight into the hole. Yeah.
He goes straight in the hole. He's not super explosive, though. So, generally, the Quorums win that. You know, of the two, cohorts, you almost always want to bet on the Quorums there. But Lloyd is fun.
So we are up to four running backs. Javonte, we got the Denver backfield and two rookies: Javonte, Jahlil, Jonathan Brooks, and Marshawn Lloyd.
He's explosive.
He's very explosive, yeah.
When he does find a hole he likes, gets going. He's a big dude that can move fast. I mean,
it is a little. It's a little Kendre Miller-esque.
There you go. I like that.
I was kind of hoping like Michael Wilson would come back for more of our Kyler stack.
Oh, we're up.
Yeah, we are up. This draft.
I take a lot of Elijah Mitchell. Khalil Herbert's also somewhat interesting.
Running back does really start to get wiped.
Yeah, I think in our shoes, we need to make sure we get at least one running back here.
Do you have any running backs you like here, Gretch?
None stand out. I'm comfortable with Mitchell. I mean, I guess like this is late enough. I guess I'm afraid that Kyle Shanahan's just going to always draft more running backs, you know?
Yeah. It's also just tough, like with our build, like we were saying, like there's not a lot of guaranteed touches at this point of the draft.
Right. Is there anything that feels that way? Wait, what's Miles Sanders' contract situation? Is he like
he's going to be the clear number two, I think. I was taking a bunch of him earlier. I think Dowdle is the other dude who
Dowdle, like will have a role. He's back.
He will have
Dallas.
A role. Yeah. Yeah. And we kind of need that.
Yeah, so. Let's do that. Yeah. They're going to bring in a rookie or something. They're not going to be a clear monster workhorse because there's no one in this class that defines that way, right?
Right. They really
they did it with Pollard. Like, they like to promote their in-house guys that do well. Like, he's going to have a role.
Even like, Jonathan Brooks is kind of like a really awesome 1A, like an Aaron Jonesy type of dude. I don't think he's like going to be a true workhorse back.
And Dowdle was like fine last year. He was better than I thought he would look as like a player, from what, you know, you'd expect from a guy who was 25 and hasn't barely played any offense. He had seven career touches.
We could bink the Cowboys backfield with Jonathan Brooks and Rico Dowdle.
Oh, I did. I forgot about that. That would be nice. Just all kinds of hand-cucking Denver and Dallas.
It would suck, though, if then if Denver and Dallas got the same bye, and you're like, oh, cool. Four running backs are on bye.
This, because our hero, Wes Cocaine, really kind of starved the beast at quarterback, there was also a team out of the three hole that went Cousins, Daniels, Rodgers back to back. I do feel good about getting out ahead of quarterback in this draft. I guess a pretty good value on Drake May. Pat, I know you had your recent piece up about him. I know you think this is a smash at a smash. That pick.
Yeah. I'm close to 50% Drake May in the big board.
I assume you're rocking him in both 2QB and 3QB builds, depending on who the first is.
Yeah, I've got 43% Drake May. It's nuts. Like, this dude has, he's mobile. He had like Justin Fields level rushing. And, you know, he's not going to be Justin Fields took it to the next level at the NFL, but he was very mobile in college. He's got a big arm. He's aggressive downfield. The negatives are stuff like, he's just trying to make too many plays and play hero ball. Like, fuck yeah, that sounds awesome. Like, that's how fantasy points are scored. Like,
and they're not going to bench him for doing that. They're not going to bench him.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, he's going to get drafted probably to the Patriots, which is annoying because, you know, they don't have any weapons, obviously. But, like, he's going to start. He's going to score fantasy points because he's mobile in addition to having a big arm. So, he just shouldn't come at a major discount to Jaden Daniels, who I think he's a much better prospect than. And he does.
30 picks after.
Yeah.
This one.
And I like Daniel. Like, I think Daniels is someone we should be mixing in as well. But if you're going to give me that kind of discount, I'm just going to end up with a ton of May.
You just said he's likely to go to New England. That's the fairly strong consensus now that Daniels is going to go too.
That seems to be the consensus. Yeah.
Interesting. Is that all because of the Mariota signing? I know right after Mariota signed, it was like, oh, because he's a similar style as a backup, then it probably means Daniels. But there's got to be other stuff going on that are leading people to that, right?
I don't know. It's just I kind of am just like following the market on this, and all the odds have shifted. So it's like Daniels is a favorite now. So I guess he's the favorite, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
We're on the clock. I'm turning to Gretch because I've got Jalen McMillan fever these days.
Okay.
I don't even love Jalen McMillan, but we could take him. I mean, he could be all right. I don't think he's going to be a great NFL player personally, but
we need to take some upside stabs here. We're at six running backs, six wide receivers.
We got to six running backs. Holy shit.
Yeah. We cranked. We had six straight in a row.
We needed to, but I feel good about.
Is there another wide receiver?
Jermaine Burton. Obviously Noah Brown has some appeal, but and we have Tank Dell, so we're already betting on Houston. But they could add someone.
My God, DeMarcus Robinson is on the chart right now. What the hell?
Yeah.
Jermaine Burton. I think if we want a pure upside crack, he's a deep threat.
You could
go second round.
Okay.
There's not a number of rookies that is too many for us, is what we're learning, and I'm very comfortable with it. Our receiver room is Tyreek, two-year guys that didn't run full route shares in year one, like need to actually put together a full season, and four rookies. We're right back. We're where we need to be, guys. We are in great position.
I do feel like it's a decent I do this regardless of my construction, to be honest, but not all the time, but this isn't only because of this construction, but if you're doing bully tight end, you're probably going to get some flex weeks out of that second tight end. And it makes it a little less painful that, you know, Jermaine Burton's probably not scoring that many points in week three.
Yeah. Yeah. All we need is Trey McBride and George Kittle to both smash for the first month, and we're in great position.
We are here. West Cocaine did take a fourth. West Cocaine is a fascinating individual because they also took Jalen Polk and Malachi Corley and then came back and hit Derek Carr as the QB4.
Wait, it's that's the QB4? Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a less interesting QB4. Derek Carr.
Why?
Look at why? This team. This is just like fucking oozing with just alpha, I know ballingness. I mean, it is just incredible. And Dalton Schultz. He heard about, I think Wes, are you watching? I think he heard Pat say Dalton Schultz is the last tight end I feel comfortable with. And he's like,
yeah, but you're supposed to have one before Dalton.
By the way, Pete, we do this every year with the rookies that we don't know, but I can help on the UW players. It's Jalen Polk, not Jalen Polk.
Okay, Jalen.
So it's Jalen McMillan and Jalen Polk. They have two Jalen pronunciations. Both. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Spelt very differently.
Do you prefer Polk?
I always liked Polk. Yeah, I always liked Polk better. Especially this past season in college. He's a bigger receiver, more of like a contested catch guy. McMillan's more of a smaller, but good route runner and tested so well. Like, I mean, McMillan's sort of in like the Will Fuller mold in terms of a player, including the drops that everyone hated from Will Fuller. Like, McMillan will drop passes and it'll annoy the shit out of you. But yeah, I mean, I could see him being good in a way that I'm just not really. Like, he's a good route runner, and he's fast, and if he's in a good system, like, there's not a really strong reason why he couldn't do some of the stuff that Tank Dell did last year if he's in the right system like Tank Dell was, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
I don't really – I mean, I don't
– John wanted you to sum up
– I would say unreliable. Oh, unreliable. Right. Okay. But, I mean, he's still, like, very athletic and flashy and good, but, like, then the word is unreliable. Drops – was hurt a lot last year.
This is, I guess this isn't a good time to show you, where is in my mentions here, Davis, because I joked we're going to try to figure out who our next clip is going to be. And Davis said, mark my words, Jalen McMillan highlight clip by August 3rd. He was trying to call it into existence, but it doesn't sound like we're getting there. If these are Gretch's,
Davis is pretty off on Malachi Corley. I haven't been able to.
That's what I told him. I said, "How many guesses are you giving yourself? Because Malachi Corley ain't happening."
Yeah, I have not gotten there.
Is he just guessing like players? Like it's just like, oh, here's another rookie.
He's a tout. He just says a bunch of different things, and then if the right one he says at one point was correct, then he can victory lap.
Exactly. That's what it feels like.
Let's see here. I mean, it's gross.
We could go Vaughn as a bet on the Cowboys and just three Cowboys. That one too. Well, we don't know where Brooks is going to go.
Yeah.
Deuce Vaughn is really small, though.
Yeah, he's a short king roster. He's Tariq Cohen. You're hoping it's Tariq Cohen.
Unless I hear another name.
He's smaller than Tariq Cohen, isn't he?
I think he's a similar, maybe he's an inch shorter, but Tariq was 5'6", so I don't know how much smaller he could be.
I feel like when I saw Deuce Vaughn, it looked like a child was on the field with NFL players. When I saw Tariq Cohen, it looked like a small athlete. Like, those are different things.
Yeah, he has the helmet. He's going to tip over because of the weight of the helmet look.
Right.
Yeah.
We missed out on Dortch, which hurts.
Damn.
Man. Is Michael Wilson there? Is Chris Moore there?
No, long gone. Long gone.
I'm happy Jamari Thrash. He's kind of an underappreciated receiver, I think.
Okay. Works for me. We're up to
oh my god, Treylon Burks. Yeah. I'm not into him, but yikes. Michael Thomas? Pat, you said I saw a tweet where you said you're drafting him.
I mix him in. 20th round, baby. I'm mixing Michael Thomas.
There's no reason not to take him at this point.
I don't think he's going to retire.
Yeah.
He's pissed.
He still earned targets on a per-route basis at, like, a reasonable clip, which is, like, his thing. And targets matter. It's going to be low ADOT. It's not going to be efficient. But, like, there's a lot of places he could go and earn 100 targets.
I think he's going to be like the Allen Robinson was it last year, but, like, maybe it works. you know,
with more targets. Allen Robinson had shown more of a decline on his ability to earn volume. Michael Thomas per route is still like in a fantasy relevant range in targets per route and that kind of stuff.
Could he be like Juju 2 years ago? Not on the, I don't think he'll go to the Chiefs, but like that kind of like it's mostly bad, but he has a couple weeks and you're paying the 20th round price tag instead of the 7th or whatever Juju costs.
Yeah.
It is interesting that he's right next to Odell, as Steph notes in the chat. There's some interest with Miami. In the newsletter today, Ian wrote up how the Chargers would also make a ton of sense for him. I could see Odell having a little life again. He wasn't bad last year when he was healthy.
But they didn't play him. It was so strange. Like we all thought that they were saving him for the playoffs, and then they just didn't. They saved him, but then they kept saving him in the playoffs.
The lasting memory I have of him is in that loss of the Chiefs. They went deep to him from like deep in their own area of the field, needed to get something going. And he pretty clearly got held, but he was so slow up the sideline that it was like well overthrown. And it was like, he's not fast enough to draw a DPI anymore. Like he doesn't have that juice to get to where the ball is. They're just like, yeah, that's not catchable for you. And it was like, man, you're kind of washed.
I remember that. Yeah.
I guess we could use some veteran leadership in this young rookie wide receiver room.
So Michael Thomas, the landing spot I thought would have really worked for him would have been Carolina, in the same way that I kind of thought Deontay worked. It was just like you can go and just soak up a ton of targets, and it's in division, and we sometimes see these teams be like, oh, yeah, that guy used to catch 10 balls on us every time we played him twice a year. So,
I mean, honestly, but Denver, if he just goes and it's literally –
that would make sense.
He gets the Michael Thomas role as Michael Thomas.
Under Peyton. Seems okay. Did he bash Peyton? He bashed a lot of people.
Did he ever bash Peyton? He's been pretty unhappy with how things went down.
Look at when you get to the 20th round with 236 players off the board, the running back nature. Frank Gore Jr., Eric Gray, Isaiah Davis, Ronnie Rivers, Emmanuel Wilson. You're in third string running back in undrafted free agent rookie territory.
There's still Ty Johnson on that list, and then I just see him get drafted here. He was the one that I liked the most. He was the bottom of the list. It's a good pick.
Scroll down.
I got nothing. I'm sorry. I'm not prepared for this. Sky Moore.
we could take Slayton, Thomas, Parker. There's guys that should have routes.
All right, we can do Parker. Parker as a scroll the F down guy.
I didn't even know he signed with the Eagles.
Yeah.
They were like, can we get Julio Jones but 1 year younger? I think was their thesis.
Right. And didn't they get somebody else that's fast to take the Quez Watkins role? Am I thinking of they just got Paris Campbell, but that's not who I was thinking
of. Oh, okay. All right. The final squad here, a 2792 build. We definitely drafted in positional runs. Four straight wide receivers, Tyreek Hill, Rashee Rice, Tank Dell, Roma Dunze. Two straight tight ends, Trey McBride, George Kittle. Two straight quarterbacks, Kyler Murray, Tua. I guess we should have taken Xavier Worthy first, then Javonte Williams, so we could have gone six straight running backs and said it was five. Jonathan Brooks, Jaleel McLaughlin, Marshawn Lloyd, Eli Mitchell, Rico Dowdle, then went to a UW boy, Jalen McMillan, Jermaine Burton, Deuce Vaughn, Jamari Thrash, and a little veteran leadership in the form of Devontae Parker to round it out.
We also got Roma Dunze. We stacked the Huskies in this draft.
If Rome's good, maybe that makes McMillan's outlook a little better, you know?
Yeah, there you go. Correlated bet that they're both very good.
And, of course, we do have to recap the masterpiece that Wes Cocaine was painting.
Wes Cocaine.
Four quarterbacks, Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, Trevor Lawrence, Derek Carr. Let the record show Trevor Lawrence is, in fact, stacked with Calvin Ridley. I will give them credit. After going five straight running backs, they did fully take their feet off the gas. It was just Jahmyr Gibbs, Barkley, Etienne, Rashad White, and Kenneth Walker, just those five. they made up for it with some quantity. Calvin Ridley, Cortland
Sutton, Malachi Corley,
John Dotson, Darnell Mooney, Jalen Folk, Davis Maddock took the wheel for Malachi Corley, Rondell Moore, A.T. Perry, Josh Reynolds, and then what I would consider a slightly thin tight end room of Dalton Schultz and Jatavion Sanders.
So, I mean, if you're going to go if you're going to go five running backs to start, you do got to hit it with a lot of receivers. I think some of the receivers here make some sense. I don't understand the tight end room, and I don't understand the four QBs, but otherwise, like, sort of, like, if you don't take the fourth QB, you almost land this plane a little bit.
And he did actually stack Trevor Lawrence with Travis Etienne. That's a real-ish stack that he got in there.
Does he think Calvin Ridley still plays for the Jaguars? Maybe. That's my question.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out how to fix this, because it does feel like the – It's one of the Love or Purdy picks.
Need to be,
and I would say probably the first five picks as well.
Well,
while we're fixing things,
let me, Pat. It's you know, we're looking at a house, and one of the like main foundation pieces is just completely wrecked. Like, there's a lot of different things we have to get to fully fix this house.
Me and you were trying to paint the outside, and Pat's like, what about the foundation over there?
You built it in a swamp.
Yeah. As producer Nick says in the hopper, this draft was cruising. Nick noted it started 7 minutes into the show and ended at 53, which is, that's like BBM 18 round. Minute times there. The reason I'm hesitant to roast West too hard, it actually feels like someone who is trying. That wasn't just a full phone it in.
I don't understand the fourth QB, but other than that, I agree. I think he was trying. And especially when you go away from receiver for the first five rounds, don't understand why you take QBs in three of the next five. Like, even if you're going to do a three QB build, it's too much QB capital right there. There's got to be some receivers and some tight ends hit in that range.
I mean, honestly, you should be done at two with Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, and five running backs to start. The only chance you've got. I mean, or weirdly, those two are the two he shouldn't. Trevor Lawrence
shouldn't have taken. Yeah,
Trevor Lawrence and Derek Carr is probably fine, but then you got a hammer wide receiver. Like, who are the wide receivers available? And
you could have gotten Dallas Goedert though too, and you could have a Goddard Schultz tight end build, which would help a lot. And yeah, I mean, if you took Love and Purdy out, you could have also added like Deontay Johnson. Okay, I love him. We all know that, but that's a good receiver for this build. A lot of targets, at least like some catches. It'll be like reasonable production weekly.
Like, that's true. Yeah, that's remember when we were doing, I feel like this isn't as common because the rooms are just not as running back heavy as they used to be. But in FFPC, you'd see teams that would do stuff like this. Deontay Johnson was like always their cheat code, that kind of archetype. It's like, I'm just going to take that veteran underpriced targets, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting draft here. Otherwise, I'm trying to notice any of the other names. Keenan, where did Keenan go in this draft? I've been curious to see where his ADP.
Fourth round, just before we took a Dunze.
45. Who would you rather have, Gretch? If Keenan was there, Keenan or Rome?
That's a good question. I know that DJ Moore is still going too high, at least for my liking. I mean, I think between Keenan and DJ Moore, and I've talked up Cole Kmet a little. I don't think you want to take a ton of Cole Kmet because of those two guys ahead of him, but I think he's a meaningful piece of the passing game. He had a good year this year for what their offense was. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I think it's too much capital for the Bears receivers to have DJ Moore at the 2-3 turn and Keenan there. But I think Keenan's price is probably fine. Yeah, maybe they're both a little. I think they should be closer in price. What do you think about that thing? You think DJ Moore should be higher?
I think that they probably should be closer because I think DJ Moore probably has more to fall.
Yeah.
At least I certainly in terms of like capital, but I think probably even in terms of raw spots, DJ Moore probably is one.
DJ Moore strikes me as like a very similar type bet as like the Waddles and the Devonta Smiths now, where it's like you like the talent, You know, the volume might not be there, but he can still drop 30 points in week 16 or week 17 and just absolutely be the guy you need.
Yeah, I think, or like a Mike Evans or DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
That kind of guy. A third round pick.
Because in the second round, you want that single week upside, but you also want a little bit more of a consistent target floor.
I agree with that because I like DJ Moore quite a bit, and he's a lot younger, and I have some concerns about Keenan's health. But I would say that I think I fully agree with you guys on the efficiency and the splash potential for DJ Moore. I think he's going to be great. I feel a lot more confident that Keenan's going to out-target him when they're both healthy and like be the more of the volume guy. He's been that guy with every receiver he's ever played with, dating back to college. DJ Moore's been able to be somewhat target dominant at points, but not like Keenan Allen. And I mean, when a rookie comes in and you have Keenan Allen constantly open, you're probably going to – he actually set a career high in targets per out run last year. He's still doing it.
Yeah, he's still good.
Yeah.
It's really odd that to me that the Chargers got rid of him. Like,
that doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I mean, they are – I was writing up some stuff and just like thinking, like, did anyone have a worse free agency than Justin Herbert? I mean,
yeah, it sucks, man.
See, this is why I think I keep seeing the Viking side of the JJ McCarthy thing that they're going to trade up with the Chargers. I keep seeing that, and I understand why people are saying that from the Vikings perspective, but the Chargers are sitting in a spot that is really wide receiver rich in this draft. And they absolutely need to address that after what we're just talking about they did. So why wouldn't they just take Malik Neighbors? Like, teams were trading up a few years ago to go get like Jaylen Waddle, like Miami did that, into this range, into this 105, 106 range. People have traded up to go get a receiver like a Malik Neighbors before. Why wouldn't you stay put if you're – but anyway.
Malik Neighbors is maybe like the perfect wide receiver to pair with Jefferson because he's explosive. He's gonna actually like be able to take the top off the defense in a way where I think like Justin Herbert needs someone who's going to actually like get open. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not the most aggressive passer, but he's got an awesome arm. So just like Neighbors, I feel like would elevate him to another level. I think though that if they get the package they probably will get from the Vikings, Harbaugh is going to be like, I'm trying to fix this defense and fix this offensive line. Like, I can figure out receiver later. Like, I just don't think that's where his head's at.
So everyone's got him moving back and then taking either Odunze or Brock Bowers there anyway, which I'm sitting there going, I would love if Odunze gets to land in that spot because I can then get excited about Odunze.
You're going to get excited about Odunze. No matter,
I know. To be honest. But if he goes to like fucking the Patriots or something. I mean, he's not called the Patriots, but like some of these landing spots are like, oh, the Giants. I don't want him going to the fucking Giants. Come on, man.
That's a pretty good chance he does. Although Neighbors probably is looking more likely to be there.
Is that the biggest buzzkill? Are those the two biggest, Patriots and Giants, for like these top wide receivers?
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's not fun, but like, you know, they'll be okay. Like, I don't think the Patriots can ruin Marvin Harrison.
The thing is,
overpriced if he ends up on the Patriots. But
I know the days of cheap rookie wide receivers are long gone, but you will get a discount on the landing spot. It was the whole reason Garrett Wilson was a double-digit pick was because everyone's like, the Jets would like
– how big of a discount do you think we would get on Marvin Harrison?
That one, not big. I think he just drops around from mid-second.
Yeah, I agree. I think he drops to the third.
If he was, if Harrison went to the Patriots, the Patriots are going QB. I mean, they have to, right?
I think they are too. I mean, that's the Crack Rock report.
I also see every time anyone mentions anything else, I see Pat Thorman make some comment about how, like, obviously they're going to go QB. And I'm like, I wouldn't want Pat Thorman to be thinking that I'm stupid. So whatever he thinks about the Patriots, it has to be what I think. Because he's like, he's plugged into them. And when he has a strong opinion, he's like always right. Thurman's
I love when Pat's fired up. It's one of the best things. Twitter.
They're definitely going QB because Pat Thorman said so.
Yeah. Twitter's mostly just like, there's very little things that I enjoy left on the site. And a fired up Pat Thorman is very much one of them.
It is definitely one of them.
I mean, I'll tell you, Bullock says, can we please get a Crack Rock appearance pre-draft? I think he's too big for us now. And I've seen some DMs. I've seen some screenshots of him sliding into bigger shows than us saying, hey, you need me to come on and talk ball? So I think he might have moved on from his ship chasing. The bright lights of Mar-a-Lago have turned him into a new man.
Hey, I think I'm pretty confident that we're going to get him to book a flight out to Vegas this year. He won't come, but I think
he will purchase the insurance on it to make sure he can easily weasel out of it. Let's see. We're not going to be able to do a full second draft tonight. Sorry, Brady.
You want to do rookies and sophomores?
We could maybe squeeze into rookies and sophomores depending on Gretch's schedule here.
I don't know how long that takes. You guys can fire it up. I might have to bounce. My daughter has a little band performance at the top of the hour that we got to leave. I mean, how long does it take?
It's 10 minutes.
15 minutes.
Yeah, fire it up. Fire it up. Let's do it.
All right, we'll start it. We'll close on a rookie
I want to do a rookies and sophomores draft. So that sounds perfect.
They're pretty damn fun.
All right, let me get this going here. And
even though I don't know half the field, all the rookies, the sophomores are fun.
Yeah, it is. You have positional scarcity tiers, running back, massively top heavy, then to a lesser extent, quarterback, and then wide receivers pretty deep.
So we're hitting running back at 102.
102, I've experimented and gone with the quarterback, but I think you just take Gibbs.
You get into a tough spot when you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the spot you can get straight up locked out is quarterback. But you can build if you take Gibbs, you only have to take three running backs, and that's nice. So it like unlocks a roster spot for you.
But like, look at this, Gretch. So you go Bijan, Gibbs, Achane.
Oh my god, Chase Brown is five.
Spears and that. Whereas you look at wide receiver, you go that far down, you're at Zay. Yeah. You're at Rome. You're at Reed.
Jordan Addison's down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's way deeper. Right. So one format in the history of fantasy where wide receiver is actually deep.
The other thing that'll happen with quarterback is like, you'll get Stroud, you'll get Richardson, and then Caleb Williams. So often if you're the fourth, you can double tap Drake May and Jaden Daniels is something that generally is possible too, which doesn't feel that bad to where I haven't.
Ooh, we get Stroud or Richardson.
We get Stroud or Richardson.
Really big. It's
rare. Yeah.
That's rare. That almost never happens.
That's what I was hoping would happen, and I don't know that it almost never happens, so now I'm even more excited. I have no idea that this is rare. I'm so excited.
Getting Stroud here is so nice.
Yeah. And then maybe
he's got to go QB at the turn. We could get Tank.
Yeah. He should go. The rational Caleb. Move here is to go Caleb, but we'll see. I mean, frankly, if we get Caleb here,
then we get two quarterbacks. Yeah. This is a really enviable spot to be in for us.
Mm. Boom.
Okay.
Wow. What neighbors.
Yeah.
That's wild.
So we get the Stroud Tank stack with Gibbs. Very rare. Looks rare.
What's Warner always do when he gets like these really good starts? He's always tweeting. Is it just the GM?
Little GM.
Got to get a little GM out here.
Yeah. Yeah, we can get a GM on the timeline. All right, yeah. So the Richardson drafter goes Caleb. Hot chili. These guys are definitely playing chicken with quarterback. Oh, they go LaPorta.
Oh, man.
I mean, we can.
Do you like Daniels over May?
Honestly, in this spot, I take May.
I like May more. I feel like May's more. I feel like Daniels has more risk to like hurt himself. He invites contact, more potential risk to get benched just because of like play style, the Justin Fields comps and stuff, like vague Justin Fields comps.
So do
I like May better?
Do you think this is a 2 QB build? Like, I think you could rock solo Stroud. Just throwing that out there.
No, I think we grab May. Because
I mean, I'm fine with it, but
you're giving up a lot of leverage opportunity. To like get in a low on Stroud to the final, if you only get
that's a good point. That's a good point. You want to make sure that you're making the most of that. And
it's
I guess
16 final. So
oh, if you get it took a round. I thought it was QB.
I mean, Brian Thomas and Addison. I mean, when you get this start, you probably just play play the hits here.
I think so, yeah.
Thomas and Addison, I think, are the best picks.
Unless you – okay.
Do you like someone more?
No. I was going to say, would you consider taking Spears or Chase Brown because of how gross running back gets? You just take the receivers.
Yeah, I just think, like, when you look at this tier, like, down yeah. to Sharps, Jalen Wright, like –
I mean, we only have one receiver. We have two quarterbacks out there. Yeah. When you take the quarterbacks, you still got to get your receivers somewhere. Like,
yeah.
I like that. That's what we should have done. Thomas over Addison. I guess, oh, because the Vikings have Sam Darnold playing quarterback now. God, it's such a different world for the Vikings.
I know. I think we're going to get one of the backs coming back maybe. So we'll see. But
Man, JSN and Addison both. It feels.
Maybe not. A lot of Joey didn't, but I take Trey Benson a lot here. It's like a
guy like Benson over Brooks.
I do in this format because there's not running backs you can hide behind. You can hide Brooks behind. You need the points.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Why is Brooks a late like slow starter? Is he hurt or something?
He tore his ACL in November. Yeah.
This Oakland-Kentucky game is wild. Kentucky's about to get upset in the first round.
Didn't I hear something like in the Ken Palm that Kentucky was like top 10 offensively and like outside the top 100 defensively or something crazy?
They aren't that wild, but they're – oh, yeah, no, sorry. They are that wild. That's exactly right. Yes, they're fifth offensively and 109th defensively. And those are the types of teams
that – we could go Brooks now and be done.
Yeah, if you don't think – I guess it would be if you think AD is in his own tier, if he's close enough with these guys to just grab the best running back. Because I do think Brooks feels like a slight tier ahead of these other running backs.
Me too. And we have Gibbs and Benson, so I feel like
we could go Sharps or something. Mitchell? I don't. You guys know better than me. I don't know.
Brooks is really fun. If he's if he's healthy down the stretch, I think he's pretty clearly the best running back in the class.
It's just Brooks has a chance to – land on the Chargers and or Cowboys and be that lead back in a way that Sharps doesn't without an injury that I think makes him a pretty fun click.
That makes sense. When you said the ACL, I'm like, well, we only have three running backs in this format and I want our guy to not have an ACL problem.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to crush it. We're like only three teams are going to be good at running back because there's only three good running backs in the whole pool.
Yeah.
And we are one of them, which so...
This team is really fun.
Yeah, it is. AD Mitchell.
Oh, Mitchell.
Now we can kind of just do whatever we want at wide receiver.
I sometimes take Ladd in this spot because Ladd's going to get out there and run routes and be fairly reliable. Like he fits with a Brian Thomas pretty well.
Or Brock Bowers, I just noticed. Yeah, you have him lower.
Yeah, just because of the tight end thing.
Oh, I actually was. I didn't see his ranks. I was looking down or the ADP. I was looking down and I was gonna say Bowers for like draft capital and everything. Isn't he gonna play quite a bit? And what if he did land with the Chargers? Like that would be a Sam Laporta rookie year.
Yeah, that Daniel Raz did a strategy article for this, and he was just pointing out the tight ends generally go too close to what they go in the big board when you have a tight
end. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's
wide receiver slash tight end.
Yeah. Yeah. At this point, I mean, I think he'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. The other one that looked decent to me was actually, we close that out because I don't remember who it was. It was Dontayvion Wicks. I think is a pretty solid. Yeah. He was had a good rookie year, and they're going to keep I don't think they're going to not use him. I don't think they're going to add
Brock or
I think Bowers.
By ADP, Bowers. We're getting another guy that makes this team.
Yeah, Bowers.
But yeah, I
Wicks like could even come back potentially.
Wicks is available in the 11th.
But I think he's a good fit because I think he'll have his games. Like, he's going to play. He's going to run routes. And, like, wide receiver's not super deep for us. We have a bunch of upside rookies. But, like,
makes sense.
As opposed to Mims, like, I think Mims is good, but Mims is a little bit riskier to me. Wicks feels like a higher floor to me.
The move I do with Mims is I try to get – and actually, this has gotten harder because Bo Nix's ADP has risen, but I like to do Jaleel, Marvin Mims, and Bo Nix, and just hope I'm going like
stack the Broncos.
Yeah. You can also do that with JJ McCarthy and Jordan Addison.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
You want to grab Wicks?
Wicks, yeah.
I like it.
I feel like this tier, like I would not be surprised to see the Franklin, Keon Coleman, Xavier Leggett, Roman Wilson, Pearsall, just like all jumbled up in basically any order of draft capital.
We're just firing receivers now, right?
So if we want to try to, yeah, let's, there's one guy else. We can save him for the final round, but Troy Franklin here is pretty sweet. I know it was a
seven picks pass, combine,
but I like that.
Let's do it.
Do you have any Franklin thoughts since they were playing the Huskies and stuff?
No, not really. I should have better Pac-12 thoughts than I do, but I don't watch a lot of the like other college games because it's like, I mean, Saturday is one of my rare like sort of days off. I watch the Huskies and then I kind of don't watch. I'm like researching for Sunday usually, you know, during football season.
Yeah,
I don't watch a ton of college ball other than the Huskies. So you see him once a year, but like I don't know that he's an NFL prospect. I'm not like paying attention to the Ducks roster.
Right.
We actually played him twice, but nothing like stood out. I don't know anything about him.
The guy I wanted to float was DeMario Douglas with the idea that we do have May land in New England. But here? Keon Coleman, Roman Wilson, there's like a ton of dudes we could take as rookies too.
DeMario Douglas is a great pick in the last round of this. Holy shit. Why does he put this late?
Because Pat doesn't have him ranked.
Yes, I do. Do I not?
No.
Pat dictates the whole market. I love it. I mean, he's like their wide receiver one, like legitimately. Yeah.
Well, I did a fun one the other day where I did the May and Daniels, and then I took Pop because I'm like, one of his quarterbacks is going to be those guys. So you like guaranteed the stack.
Well, look, when you guys fill a tournament in 3 days and I send out the ranks once and don't think about them again.
Yeah.
that's I may have forgotten to add DeMario Douglas.
That's it is wild. Rookies and sophomores is 77% filled. crazy.
We got one amazing ship chasing team though, and that's
Let's get this marked here.
That's fun as hell.
I
gotta run.
We'll power this whole thing down. Thank you guys for hanging out. Obviously, you got all kinds of ranks and stuff over on Legendary Upside. Check out that Drake May, Jaden Daniels piece from Pat as well. Steph's article about Rashi Rice, rookies and sophomores ranks, and an article from Daniel Raz, bunch of good stuff. Check out my video over on the Deposit Kingdom channel. Ran through 10 different tips for the big board. Still plenty of time to draft in that. And Underdog also dropped $100 three max, the biggest board too. So those strategy tips can get you caught up.
Why did they decide to do that? Anyone ask for that tournament or?
Yeah. You know, I asked for a little favor and, Hope and Numi, made that happen. Thank you guys. And, Gretch, stealing bananas, stealing signals, anything else coming up from you?
Nope. Not imminently. I'm going to go to a band concert tonight and that's what's coming up for me.
Enjoy. Enjoy.
Adding DeMario Douglas to the rankings right now. So if you want to draft off the ones with DeMario Douglas, check the site in about 5 minutes.
Pat is writing a sternly worded message to Daniel Raz.
To myself. No. I went rogue. We weren't going to provide these. And I was like, I'm having fun. Here's some ranks.
Oh, okay. All right, guys. Have a good night. We'll see you next time.